back through with a kick. Couldn't get it out. Here's a chance to ice it. Isaac Heaney! Yes, sir! How impressive has this last quarter been from the Swannies?
Terry, welcome back to Etihad Stadium on 11:16 SEN. Thanks to Tissot. What are we, Scotty? Tomo, 47 minutes away from the first bounce between St Kilda and GWS. Tissot, the official timekeeper of the AFL. You were there. So was the coach of the Sydney Swans, John Longmire, who has been put through the ringer yesterday in an opening round game again. They got the result this year, and the coach of the Swans has been good enough to join us. Good afternoon to you, John, and congratulations.
Thanks, Murray. G'day, boys.
Mate, is there a simple... I mean, there's never one reason, but in your mind, was there a defining reason for how your mob were able to turn it around as completely as they did in that last sort of 40 minutes?
Oh, well, there's always... there's us and the opposition. The opposition were terrific, particularly at the start of the game. They played really well and had a lot of energy. We started to turn it a bit in the second quarter. We had 20 to 8 inside 50s in the second quarter, but we kicked... one goal six, so we just didn't get the reward for effort, and we did in the last quarter. So obviously it looks a lot better when you kick seven goals, and we're able to really get our running game going, and made a big difference in the scoreboard. So never just one thing, yeah. Probably a combination of a few things.
So John, I must have felt in some sense like a guy running off scratch in the stall gift. I mean, we all knew Essendon were going to run out of puff, and you would have been acutely aware of that. Nevertheless, late in the third quarter, you're 41 points down. In your heart of hearts, did you still think you were a chance then?
I thought it was going to be tough, Rowan. I mean, it was going to be hard from there. I mean, it's no doubt. I mean, you certainly don't want to be that far down at that point in the game, that late in the game. I think it was Jeremy Laidley just kicked the goal just before three-quarter time, which helped a little bit of momentum going into three-quarter time. But there was certainly... we weren't happy about being that far down. There's no doubt about that. And we need to do everything possibly right in the last quarter to win. And fortunately, we're able to do it.
John, Nathan Thompson here. I was fortunate enough to be up there, mate. Congratulations. Was that something that you pushed to the players at three-quarter time, just to put into their minds about, yes, you are 34 points down, but this team is underdone?
Wasn't so much about this team is underdone. It was more about just doing a sort of... playing the sort of footy we wanted to play and making sure we ran and used the space that was open to us. And when we were able to do that, it was important. I mean, I think all the players knew that they didn't have that, I guess, the match conditioning over the last month or so. But, they came out so hard and were so consistent in their efforts that you can never be sure that was going to stop or wasn't going to keep going, or you can't be sure of anything like that. You just have to concentrate on what you do, and that's all we did. We just concentrated on the sort of footy that we wanted to play and eventually got that going in the last quarter.
A couple of things that really stood out being at the ground, John, was just that your key players around the ball really dominated and took control of that game right from the early moments of that final quarter. Hannabry started to get busy and get his hands on it. Yeah. I thought Kieran Jack was just amazing. Also, yeah. Kennedy, I mean, he was great all game, but he even lifted another notch. And Jake Lloyd was very important for you, being the sub and coming on and giving you some great run.
Yeah, he was. I mean, Jake... was our sub, and he's probably a bit unlucky not to be in the 21, but his run was important. To come on just before three-quarter time and give us that run was critical for us. And our leaders stood up, and to their credit, we needed that to happen if we were going to win the game. And, it gets pretty pointy when you're 40-odd points down and the pressure comes on in that situation. And fortunately, they stood up and to their great credit, we're able to have a good last quarter, all of them, and contribute.
John, Scott Lucas here. Congratulations on the win. Just want to ask about a couple of players. Luke Parker, how is he? And also Isaac Heaney. I have a view when you watch your first gamer, all you want to see, if he fits in, that's the mark that he's going to be a good player, rather than actually looking like a first gamer. He looked as comfortable as any first gamer I've seen. What have you seen through the pre-season that gives you high hopes for him?
Yeah, well, first of all, Luke Parker was okay after the game. He was fine, and he's okay today, which is terrific. We'll see how he goes during the week. And Isaac's, he's impressed us just with his competitive spirit. I mean, above all things, he's just a real competitor. He loves the contest. He gets in and really mixes it with him. He's not afraid to have the physical contact. He's a good runner. He can play any position. So he's got some great flexibility, and and he just wants to play senior football. It's just it's dripping out of him, and you can see that from the moment he walked into the place. So, you know, he was pretty good last night. He experienced a whole heap of emotions. You know, we were struggling there at one point, and he experienced that, but then he experienced kicking a goal that actually was the icing on the cake in the game. So he got all tastes of it last night, and his smile was absolutely enormous after the game. It was fantastic.
Yeah, I'm sure Eddie Maguire's smile was pretty big too as he watched Isaac Heaney do what he's doing for you.
Yeah, well, it's just good to have a young kid from Newcastle who would have been playing rugby league.
And okay, we're in your corner on this one.
John, how's Callum Mills coming along?
Well, he's not doing much at the moment. He's had some issues with his leg, so he's not doing anything at the moment. Won't be playing for a few weeks, so he's not doing much footy at all at the moment.
It's always interesting to me, John, how dramatically a grand final result can change people's perceptions or rewrite a narrative. And over the summer, I've spotted a few pieces and a few comments along the lines of you guys don't have quite the bond and that tightness and that, you know, sort of blood's ethos type thing that perhaps it's fraying a little. And that seems to be tied in with people's belief that you're not quite as hard at the ball as you used to be, and particularly in the wet. I think there's been a lot of comments about the Swans in the wet over the last couple of years. Is the last quarter yesterday the sort of performance that effectively turns around and raises the middle finger to those criticisms?
We don't pay any attention to it, Rowan.
I was waiting for that.
I mean, not as if we actually read every newspaper and have to use that. I mean,
no, but okay. Well, leave aside the perception thing. Purely in a on field sense, do you think generally over the last say year you guys have been as hard at the pill and as good in the wet as you used to be?
Oh well, it's hard to finish on top of the ladder, Rowan. We won the most games is what we have in our history last year. So yeah, we understand the bar's high. And if that doesn't satisfy people, we'll try and keep raising it.
Speaking of high, John, the size of your team was interesting to me considering how many key position players you had on the ground there last night. Now, Sydney turned on one of its beautiful wet weather mornings and afternoons for the game. Did you have any concerns going into that one that maybe you had one tall too many, or is it just the confidence in those players at ground level that have your team the ability to pick so many talls?
No, we didn't. I mean, the Bombers had a bit of height, but we went into that. You're not quite sure, I mean, with Tippett and Franklin, how much game time they were going to play. And so it made Sam Reed's job at centre-half forward important because, you know, he needed to work hard because we were unsure about, you know, obviously how long into the game those blokes would be going. As it turned out, they kept running really strongly to the end of the game. But at the start, you don't know that. And so Tippett spent a lot of time in the ruck. And, you know, with Mike Pike, so he shared the job in the ruck. So when you look at the amount of time that, you know, tall permanent forwards were actually in the forward line, it wasn't that much. And, you know, we were happy in the end that we were able to bring Jackie Lloyd on and he was able to do what he did.
Yeah, and in the end, I suppose, when you look at it, it was the opposite. I mean, the effort of Franklin and Tippett in that last quarter in those one-on-one contests were just pretty awesome.
Yeah, that's right. And sometimes, particularly a bloke like Tippett with his size, can draw free kicks in the wet, and if you kick it up to the top of the square and in the 50-50 contest, and that can happen as well, as you know. And you know, we thought his last quarter was super. His ruck work was very good during the course of the game, but his efforts up forward were fantastic in the last quarter.
Just on the venue, for all the crap that ANZ cops as a venue, your record there is pretty formidable, isn't it? In fact, I mean, without checking, it's probably, I would have thought it, in win-loss terms, it's probably as good, if not better, than the SCG. But being a different sort of ground, is it good evidence that you guys are able to play, you know, across all ranges of conditions and ground sizes and what have you?
Oh, we think so, Rowan. I mean, we've got a better than 60% winning record out at ANZ. I'm not sure exactly what it is, but we've played some of the better teams in the competition at that ground, and some really strong teams over the course of the years, and have had a good record out there. So we don't get too fussed about the venues or the weather conditions, and we know we need to make adjustments at different times, but ultimately it's about persistence and perseverance, and you know, we were able to do that last night.
John, losing a grand final is no fun at all. How did you address that with the group, and what sort of focus was put on it throughout the pre-season?
Oh, look, I've spoken about it after the season and a couple of times during the pre-season. We addressed it in the week afterwards. And then we addressed it when we got back at the start of pre-season. But in the end, the game forces you to move on. I mean, you need to get going pretty quickly. We addressed some of the things that we should have done better, both during the week and also game day. And regardless of the form we're in at that particular point, we didn't get the result we're after, and Hawthorn was super. So, but at the end of the day, you move on to 2015 pretty quickly because you have to. Round one was on us last night, and we're moving into it. And, you know, we play this week, we play Port Adelaide, and it's not going to get any easier for us, and that's what we're focused on.
As embarrassing a loss as the grand final was, though, I mean, it would have been hard to dwell too long and loud on it, though, wouldn't it? Because, I mean, apart from that one off, you basically did pretty much everything right during the course of the year, and it wasn't a defeat that sort of showed up structural inadequacies. It seemed to be a thing about on the attitude on the day. So it's hard to really labour that, isn't it?
Well, you've got to keep everything balanced. Inside a football club, Rowan, and coaching and playing, you've got to make sure that you put balance on things. You don't go to extremes too much either way, winning or losing. You tend to keep things pretty balanced, and you look at the things you can improve and the things you do well. And that's what we did based upon our review of last season. What did we do well? Well, we did a fair bit well. And what did we do well? Well, we looked at those areas as well and try and address them over the summer, then start a new season. And that's basically what coaching is. I mean, you don't go to the extremes. You're not dictated to by people outside the footy club. You're looking so internally, and normally that's where you find the answers, and that's what we try and do.
And in terms of balancing your group up, John, over the course of the whole season and hopefully getting them as cherry ripe as they can be, hopefully, at the end of the season, how geared up are they for round one? If you could put a measurement on, in a perfect world, they're going to be 100% if we're good enough to get there on grand final day. That's when I want them to be 100%. What kind of, you know, percentage level are they operating at the start of the season?
I wanted 100%, Murray.
The whole way through?
I wanted 100% for round one of the NAB Cup.
But you can't. Can you afford to do that, given the length of the season and the physical demands of it? Is you say that, and we understand why you would say that. But is that possible?
Well, I mean, we try and aim for it. Yep. I mean, the reality is, if you're not prepared mentally and physically to go 100% for every game, you end up copping one pretty quickly under the chin, and that's just the reality of the game. And Dennis Pagan was a great professor as far as his football analogies and what he used to say, and he was exactly right. You have to go hard all the time, and you get your rest and physically and mentally during the week, and we manage those both areas pretty intently during the course of the year. But come game day, you just need to be in the best possible physical and mental shape for a real battle, no matter who you play, and that's what the game demands.
Hey, how many of Dennis's old sayings have you appropriated, John?
Snowy from the tram come out ever?
Surely your
confidence shop.
Surely your favourite is don't piss down my back and tell me it's raining.
Well, I've got a few confidence shops up here and give me a attend to and go and buy some confidence at different times. But I tell you, you get a few North boys together and it goes on for hours.
Any pumpkin heads? You took your head off.
There's a lot of it. Don't worry about that. But a lot of his philosophies were pretty good.
I like a coach who tells his players to get off Media Street. I've got to say, I'm a bit old school. I don't like me players
well,
on Media Street.
Well, in this day and age of social media, the street's full. There's no more room.
That's great, Murray, seeing you're a member of the media.
But did you ever get the one, Johnny, where you'd done something in the paper that week and you just sidled up to your trainer and said, you better get a kick? There was a nice photo of you in the paper today. You better get a kick this week. Did you get one of those?
Did I get one?
Yeah. All right. How many did you?
Oh, yeah. So, I mean, we all got them at various stages.
Right. Even the duck?
Well, Johnny Blakey's an assistant coach up here, and we often, you know, use what Dennis uses at different times. And I don't think the duck got it too much. He'd just come out the weekend and kick eight. Yep.
Mate, well played. Just one last one. We saw the spray. Is that one of your best ever? The when you dug in deep and got stuck into them at quarter time, did you find yourself going somewhere you haven't gone very many times before?
Oh, no. You go to all sorts of spots as a coach, Murray, at all sorts of times. So, no, nothing unusual in that.
Okay. It looked good on TV. Hey, well played. It was a brave effort by the Bombers, given everything they've been through, but it was a really stunning turnaround in difficult conditions by your mob. Congratulations on the win. Good luck for the rest of the year.
Thanks, Murray. Thanks, boys.